Although not foremost on a person's mind after curative, restorative, or cosmetic surgery, questions are being raised about the short and long-term health outcomes from the surgical procedures and anesthesia. At the 53rd annual meeting of the Japanese Society of Anesthesiologists in early June, and as guest editor of the June issue of Anesthesiology Clinics of North America devoted to this matter, Dr. Stefan Meiler discussed these issues and has presented a fascinating outlook about an area that up to now has not been given too much attention. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Stefan Meiler, Associate Professor of Anesthesiology and Medicine and Vice Chairman of Research and Director of the Program of Molecular Perioperative Medicine and Genomics in the Department of Anesthesiology and Perioperative Medicine in the Medical College of Georgia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Barry. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure having you on today. What are the basic mechanisms involved in the body's response to surgery? What happens when surgery is performed?
Well, with regard to long-term outcome, which is our main interest, we proposed a hypothesis at the Anesthesia Patient Safety Foundation meeting in Boston in September of 2004, which convened national experts on this particular topic. And at that time, we proposed that changes in the immune system that occur during the perioperative period, both in form of pro-inflammatory as well as immunosuppressive events, may enter into determining outcome not only in the short term, but also several weeks, that is more than 4 weeks, months, or maybe even up to years after surgery.
So what parts of the immune system are involved, and what can a person expect normally, and what are some of the aspects of the immune system that have drawn your attention to these particular outcomes?
Well, let's first focus on the innate immune system, which is really the body's primary defense designed to combat infection. But it is also an integral part in healing the surgical wound. And depending on the degree of surgery, especially in extensive surgery, the body mounts an inflammatory, pro-inflammatory response by releasing pro-inflammatory cytokines and chemokines, which are involved in healing of the surgical wounds, absolutely paramount. Now, what can happen is, if surgery is extensive, is that this locally regulated pro-inflammatory response, which is beneficial and helps the patient survive a very unphysiological intervention like surgery, can spill over into the systemic circulation. And now we're coming to a very interesting point and interface. We've learned over the last 10 to 15 years that many and very diverse disease processes of chronic diseases like coronary artery disease or some of the degenerative cognitive illnesses, and certainly many of the autoimmune diseases, chronic inflammatory bowel disease, that these are in major part driven by inflammatory mechanisms. So if we now observe the immune changes that occur during surgery, particularly on the pro-inflammatory side, if you will, it is like pouring fuel onto a pre-existing fire. And I think this association is best understood at this point in the area of coronary artery disease. And no one would argue these days that coronary artery disease is a pro-inflammatory process which affects the vessel wall. And during surgery, if surgery is long enough and extensive enough, there is very much an overlap in the types of cellular and molecular responses that the body mounts to surgery and those that are pre-existing in the coronary artery lesion that the patient brings with himself or herself to the operating room. So what we are proposing is that pro-inflammatory responses during surgery may actually aggravate or accelerate pre-existing diseases such as coronary artery disease and then lead to a long-term complication. Now, I have to qualify my statements that this is a model at this point in time. There are no data to confirm that. But we've known for quite some time that the risk for myocardial infarction after surgery is increased, and we have assumed that myocardial infarctions that occur after this magical period of 4 weeks after surgery have nothing to do with the effect of surgery or anesthesia itself. And there's really nothing in biology that would create this magical cutoff point. So to me, it is quite intuitive, and to others as well, that complications could occur on a timeline after surgery and may not be limited to just the first 4 weeks after the procedure.
Now, have there been other, although studies have been limited, there still is some data to suggest that these avenues that you're looking at require further evaluation. What other factors and what other research has been done in the past with regards to, for example, body temperature, anesthetics that are used, other medications, or a person's other underlying medical conditions influencing the outcomes either short or long term after surgery?
That's a very interesting question. So this whole concept of long-term outcome, which is indeed in its infancy, we have had evidence below the radar screen in the literature for quite some time. And I will give you one example from the renal transplant literature. So prior to the cyclosporine era, we have very, very good evidence that giving a blood transfusion just prior to the kidney transplant will improve the survival of the transplanted kidney for years after surgery. Hmm. And researchers hypothesize that this is most likely due to the fairly profound immunosuppressive effects that allogeneic blood transfusions exert on the patient. Then we have the classic beta blocker Mangano trial, which came out in 1996, I think. I think that's correct. And which showed that just preoperative administration of beta blockers had a protective effect on cardiac outcomes for up to 2 years, with most of the beneficial effect being observed in the first 6 months, which again goes beyond this poor period for which we have taken responsibility in the past. There are now other reports coming in from other investigators using other interventions, such as the cholesterol-lowering statins or the blood pressure-controlling medication called clonidine. Investigations where also long-term observational endpoints have been incorporated, and those data would also suggest that preoperative, perioperative administration of statins or of clonidine not only have short-term but also long-term benefits with regard to cardiac morbidity, mortality, and overall mortality.
Now, with regards to your own research, what's the latest study have you done, and what were some of the results from it?
Well, our own research has, so let me back up on the overall model that we proposed in Boston in 2004. And so the basic tenet was to create this association between immune changes, both in the innate and the adaptive immune system, and long-term outcome. Now, this model has several layers to it. And one of the things that we're stating is that the response to a given surgical stimulus is certainly not going to be the same in every patient, and that there are modifying factors that determine the extent of the inflammatory response. So genetic background, for example, would be a very important variable, age of the patient, and underlying disease. So we hypothesized that a patient, and we're using an animal model to look at that, that a patient who already has a pre-existing chronic inflammatory condition may mount a very different inflammatory or innate immune response to an infection, a problem that we commonly see in the perioperative setting. So we used, and you folks up there probably don't see too much of sickle cell disease. Here in the southeast, we have a large contingency of patients with homozygous sickle cell disease. Even though it's a genetic disorder of hemoglobin, it turns out that patients who have homozygous sickle cell disease have a chronic inflammatory vasculopathy, so it's really a chronic inflammatory condition. So we used the mouse model of sickle cell disease and treated these mice with a one-time dose of lipopolysaccharide, which is a conserved bacterial constituent from gram-negative bacteria. And what we observed in these mice is that their innate immune response to this very short-lived bacterial stimulus was profoundly altered in comparison to control mice. And when we then looked for the reason as to why this might be, we found that macrophages, which are phagocytosing cells and part of the innate immune system, now had become reprogrammed in the process of taking care of ischemia and necrotically injured tissue due to the underlying sickle cell process. So in other words, sickle cell disease causes ischemia reperfusion, injury, or necrosis to tissues in various organs. Macrophages move into that area, if you will, to clean up the mess and heal it. But in the process of doing so, they have become cells that express different surface now show an overreactive response to these bacteria, to this bacterial constituent that we gave to these mice, mounting an innate immune response that was not helpful anymore and that was quite harmful to the animals.
Now, on the basis of that, what are the next steps in your research? Where do you want to take this knowledge forward?
Well, we now need to study, furthermore, we need to study the exact cellular molecular mechanisms why we're seeing this response. And then it will be very important to ask the question, is this something that is very specific to the sickle cell disease process, or does it apply to other inflammatory conditions? So the macrophages, for example, that seem to be the culprit in our model, they're also expressed and activated in coronary artery lesions. So in a more localized process, would it be possible to see a similar process in coronary artery disease? We don't know the answers to these questions, but certainly I think our work has raised a lot of intriguing questions, which we intend to pursue.
So my final question to you is, with the listeners who've heard what you've had to say with regards to the effects of surgery and it very preliminary, new information, almost a new body of science looking at this, what is the take-home message for them if they are planning to have surgery? What should they understand from this research?
Let me answer this question as a generalist maybe first and say that much of what we see and most of the complications that we see are preventable in the sense that we as individuals need to be very serious in taking responsibility for maintaining our own health. And by that I mean don't smoke, don't drink, watch your weight. And I think if we did this as individuals across our society, I probably would lose my job. So I think that is a very important aspect. But if it so happens that listeners in your audience are scheduled for surgery, I would suggest be a very active participant in your care. Make sure that you have a list of questions, that you are comfortable with your surgeon, that you're comfortable with your anesthesiologist, and not to worry too much at this point in time because we're still in the exploratory phase. Surgery and anesthesia is very safe for the most part, and I would move forward and not be too concerned about the potential risks at this point.
Well, Dr. Mel, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time discussing this particular area of research with regards to surgery and some of the long and short-term effects. And I'd love to have you back on sometime in the future after some more studies and see how things have gone.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.